I'm not very eloquent. I got a speech impediment, but God asked me to do this 5 years ago, and I said, God, if you'll send me and give me something to say, I'll go and I'll say. And I've never got to do that yet. So I'm very nervous, very nervous. It's a scary place to be whenever God puts you in a position, because you stand between man and God. You know, I mean, when God gave me a message, what I say in a few minutes will be God talking. What He told me. And if I get in the flesh, you'll know the difference. But it's a scary place to be. But I thank God for it. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we come to you with a grateful heart, God, for how you bless us, dear God. You give us life, health, and strength, dear God. You give us salvation, God, and that's more than we ever deserve. So we thank you for it, God. And Father, you see the message you laid on our heart, God. You know, you gave it to us a couple weeks ago, and we've had it on our heart, and we just pray, God, you help us deliver it. Father, we pray, God, you might help us to deliver without fear or favor of men, dear God, and we might not have a chip on our shoulder, God, but just come as humbly and meek as possible, but be as bold as a lion, dear God. So we pray, God, you'd help us to deliver it just as I received it, God, without adding anything to it, God. Your word, you said your word would never return voice. We pray, God, it would be accomplished before you sent it. We pray, God, it might find lodging, God. Help people to have an ear to hear, Father. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This message is maybe simple, but it's profound too. It's sometimes it's tough to deliver a message of, it's not a judgment message, but it's a message of, can be rebuked sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what God's greatest enemy is? God's greatest enemy is religion. Religion, there's 30,000 different religions that say this is the way and that's the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, but the way. There's only one way to heaven. And, well, they can't all be right. I'm not saying that I'm right. But God's right. God's word is right. I'm going to deliver it just like He gave it to me. So what He says is true. But there's a scripture in Romans 1 and 16. Romans 1st chapter, verse 16. When Jesus came, when first John came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus came up behind him and preached the gospel of the kingdom. So tonight I'm going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And it never got old. Sister Beth sang a song. It never got old. The gospel of the kingdom. And the title of the message is A Damnable Prayer. Now, God gave me these scriptures, and I brought a message about this, sort of like this in Marion. But God told me specifically, I told you, Brother Wilson, a week and a half ago, that God gave me something. That, and I didn't know who was coming, so you know, and I know that this is from God. I didn't make something up because somebody's here. If any preacher gets up and knows you're coming and preaches at you, he's got a need. We should never, now we may know somebody's there and may have need. We should never come saying, I'm going to shoot Brother Wilson, I'm going to shoot Brother CJ. That's not the way it should be. But in Romans 1 and 16, very familiar scripture says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel has got power.
Yes.
And the problem is, these people are preaching out here, these false prophets are preaching a watered down gospel that is not saved anybody.
True.
They say that 86% of America is Christian. If that were true, we wouldn't have abortion.
No.
You wouldn't have to worry about law enforcement. So you wouldn't have all this stuff going on, because if the majority of people were Christians, it'd be a lot safer place to be. A lot of people may have a religion. Some of them may have a profession, but because the gospel changed you. Anytime you get saved, you're a new creature. I mean, everything.
Amen.
When I got saved, man, Brother Rusty, everything changed. My people that I hang around with, my actions, my attitudes, my thoughts, everything, my music, everything changed because I was a new creature. But I see a lot of these people preaching from behind pulpits, spouting off this poison that you can just come, make a little profession, live the same way you did, and still go into heaven. That is life in the pit of hell. That's sending people to hell, and that's what I'm worried about. This is the gospel, and it's got power unto salvation. It's not a weak, watered-down gospel. In Philippians, the first chapter, I'm just laying a foundation. This is not the message. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 12. Paul writing here again, it says, Philippians 1. And I'm bad to talk fast and I'm bad to read fast. So if you need me to slow down, tell me, I'll slow down. I'm bad for that. Philippians 1 and 12 says, but I would you understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, but so that my bonds are in Christ are manifest in all place, in all the palace, and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ with envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. That's my goal, is to defend the gospel. I am an attorney, so to speak, for the gospel. I come to defend the true gospel. The gospel that has power, that's the gospel I want to preach to. It's not about this weak, watered-down stuff that has no life-changing events. With having that said, a lot of them use this little thing called a sinner's prayer. Anybody ever heard of sinner's prayer?
Yeah.
They say it all the time. They'll say this thing, a little sinner's prayer. Well, you know, that prayer will send you to hell. Why is that? I'm going to show you. Don't take my word for it. Let me finish up, okay, now. That prayer alone will send you to hell. There's a little poem in my life. I read it off of the internet. I'm going to try to read it to you. I'm no poet, but just listen to this poem. It says, "The preacher said, don't despair. The disease of death is not rare. You will leave here without losing a hair. Just open your mouth and let in the air. It's even okay if you shed a tear, for that would not be rare. He made me feel very swell by his magical spell, and I stopped dwelling on my fears, for I trusted all would be well. I tell you, beware of such an affair. Will you say a prayer, and his promise you'll be an heir, and that your soul will be spared? It makes you feel sure that you will endure. But he forgets to tell that you will not yell till you're burning in hell. This man may now be preaching, but soon he will be screeching. Just ask the Apostle Paul, for he would not be able to recall when church was like a mall, where buildings stood tall and dresses were small, and no one responded to the gospel call. To say all you have to do is utter a sentence is the most shameful scam, and is sure to have you damned. The sinner's prayer might have a good impression, but is full of demonic possession, and only leads to eternal transgression, for it is a fake profession. For the Bible's sake, the sinner's prayer is fake. It's time to awake, for on judgment day, you will begin to say, I ask you in my heart, and he will say, depart. I looked in the scriptures, and I could not find any place where the Bible says, ask Jesus in your heart. Did you know that? I looked for it.
Yeah.
Never. I looked in it, and I tried to find personal Savior. It's not there either. These are the key words. These are the talking points of false prophets. They say, just ask him in your heart. And they said, there's more to it than that. And there's a key point they leave out. The most important ingredient. It's like if you were, you bake cakes, right? If you left out the eggs or the yeast or something, it wouldn't be right. It would look good, but it wouldn't taste right. It wouldn't be a cake. It'd be something else.
Yeah.
You leave out this most important part of the gospel, and I'll get to it in a minute, and it's of none effect. It'll condemn you because it makes you feel like you're okay. But let me show you what I'm talking about. They also have this little track. It's the ABCs of salvation.
Yeah.
And they just, same thing. You go down the Romans road to salvation. I tell you, we need to get off the Romans road and get on the highway of holiness.
Yeah.
There is a highway that's holy, Brother Rusty.
Amen.
But that ABC of prayer, it sounds good. See what the bad thing is? If I came to you and said, Brother Wilson, would you take this strychnine and put it in your water and drink it? You'd say, I ain't going to do it. But if I just give you a little dose, a little bit here, a little bit there, you would never know it. That's the problem. They're giving them poison a little bit at a time. And I am not talking about anybody. I'm talking about a spirit that's delivering this false doctrine. But the ABC that says just admit you're a sinner, believe he'll save you, and confess your sins. Well, that's all necessary, but that's like a cake with no eggs.
That's right.
You're missing something when you're there. It takes more than just admit. You know what? Every week they have an AA meeting. I guess they do. Every so often they have an AA meeting. And there'll be some man that say, hey, I'm Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, he just admitted, but when he left, he was still an alcoholic, because admission of itself won't give you any power.
True.
You have to admit, but that's not enough. Well, it says, well, just believe on your... They use scripture in Romans 10 and 9. If you believe on Him, He'll save you. Well, that sounds good, but there's something else. Because you know what? The devils believe. You know, whenever Legion was standing on the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus came up, the demons started saying, oh, Jesus, the Son of God, don't persecute us for the time. They believed in who He was. He didn't even say a word. They knew who He was. So the devils believe and tremble. But it takes more than believing. And it says, can just confess your sins. Look over in, I didn't write it down. In Romans it says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. That means everybody that's alive now, before and after us, will confess. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? Absolutely not. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. So confession is necessary, but it won't do it. It's still missing the most important part. Salvation goes deeper than just admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus will save you, and confessing your sin. It takes more than that. Now, you have to add those, but there's something else. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus told us this one scripture here, and now, I believe Him over anybody. He said, let God be true and all men liar. I mean, even Apostle Paul, he said, let God be true and every man liar. But in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord. See, now they said, Lord, Lord. They confessed the name of Jesus. They also, they use this, scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, here they said, Lord, Lord, so they said it twice. So see, they should be saved, right? Keep reading. Yeah, if that worked, it would be great. It says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied unto thee? What is prophesied? That's what I'm doing right now. These are some false preachers. These are people that I'm prophesying right now. We think of prophecy as in 2014 at 11 o'clock, something's going to happen. No, that's not prophesying. Prophesying is proclaiming the word.
That's right.
But excuse me, some water. Put it down first. Thank you, man. We've got this water. It said, many shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. So apparently they had some kind of church services. Or they had some kind of good works. They went out doing things that they thought were right. These were not people that were just out here on a bar stool. These people thought they were religious. They were religious, thought they were saved. And in thy name done many marvelous works, or wondrous works. And then I was saved. Who says? Jesus. Now His word stands forever. This word stands forever. Now this Bible, I know lots of times, this Bible, the house will burn down and the Bible will be still there. But you know what? Even this Bible, I can throw it in the incinerator and it will burn. But God's word that's on here will stand forever. And He said, now Jesus said, then I will profess unto them. Those who were religious, who were had a certain kind of profession, but didn't have no possession. They went out doing good works. They even preached them. Said here they prophesied. Could have been some pastors. Could have been some evangelists. Could have been both, you know. But it says, then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity, they were doing good things. But if you do something, they were doing it so they can say, I've got good works. They weren't doing it for God. They were saying, you know, look what I've done.
Right.
You know, what is boasting then? You know, we have no reason to boast. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I couldn't move, live. He said, it's in Him that I live and I move and I have my being. But it goes deeper than that. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, Matthew 4, verse 16, here is the egg for the cake, okay? This is what you're missing. This is what those false prophets are missing when they teach you this and just admit, believe, and confess. This is what they don't tell you about. It says in Matthew 4, verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. For from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the whole key word, repentance. When they try to take you down to a Roman road prayer, they try to get you to this ABC prayer, they don't ever do an R prayer. They don't ever put any repentance in there. What is repentance? I heard one guy saying repentance is whenever I allow Jesus to have his way in my life. That's not repentance. Repentance is something that you do, something that I do. He can do all things except repent for us. And no man can come to an altar and say a little prayer and get up and be saved without this. And then write down also, but Scripture to mind, he says, except you repent. Now when you say except, that means just one thing. There's one exception. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Right.
So repentance is the necessary key. It's the yeast in your bread. It's what makes things work. Repentance is an absolute necessity. You cannot get by without. You can't be saved without repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is whenever you change your mind and you change your direction. You're tired of going the same old way you were. You're tired of living for yourself. And you say, I'm going to live for God. Now you have to do 180 degrees. You cannot still live the same way you were. God will move into any house, but He starts renovations like immediately. He starts fixing you up. He'll take any trade in, but He has to start fixing it. But repentance is the main thing. It's what they forget, Brother Wilson. And even when they do it, they don't even teach you the right way. Do what?
You
change everything. You're tired of what you're doing. You're tired of living that way. It ain't getting you nowhere anyway. And you change your mind. You change your direction. A lot of people change their mind. They make a decision. Billy Graham says, come down and make a decision. Well, I made a decision to get out of debt, but I'm still paying bills. It sure didn't do me any good, you know. It takes more than being a decision. It's got to be some paying.
Yeah.
Well, now, I'm not saying salvation by works, by any means.
No.
But what I'm saying is, there's something I have to do, too. I have to repent. And repent means I change everything. I change the way I'm going. In Hebrews 11:6, very familiar scripture. You can probably quote it. And I talked a lot ago about believing. Believing is an absolute necessity because it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is hard to please Him.
What?
It didn't say hard, did it? It's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Well, see, there He says you got to believe. Well, I didn't say that. You have to believe it. It goes deeper than that. It says that He is rewarded of those that diligently seek Him. That's not haphazard. That's not every now and then. That's a consistent seeking after God. In Romans 10:9, I went over my notes. I've outlined myself. Just want to read you some of the stuff that they use. And got the cart before the horse this time. Romans 10:9. So it says, for with the heart the mouth believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, they use these scriptures, but they don't ever go back to the confession part, to the repentance part. In Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that don't make everybody saved. If it was, I'd just wait to the end, I'll kneel and bow then, I'll be saved. That's not the way it's going to work. You don't do it now, you ain't going to do it then. Okay. Exactly. Luke, the 13th chapter. And Luke 13:1-5. Here it is. See, now I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I get a little anxious sometimes. Luke 13:1-5 says, there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with sacrifices. And Jesus answering, said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because of such sufferings? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So in other words, you're saying, You think those Galileans were the worst of sinners? Or those people that got killed by the tower? He said, no. You're all sinners. He said, you're all going to hell if you don't repent. He put us all in the same category. You know, we've all sinned come short of the glory of God. And if you read that scripture, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a past tense word. We have come short. We don't teach that you still even sin.
Amen.
If I still have to sin, well, I'm going to go out and enjoy it. Because I'm going to come in every night and say, oh, God, forgive me of many sins. I'm not going to be under condemnation. He said, there is now no condemnation to them that walk after Christ Jesus. There is a victory over sin. We teach victory over sin. No, we don't. The Bible teaches victory over sin. We just believe it.
True.
In Mark, the 6th chapter, and that victory comes in Jesus. Don't ever get so puffed up. You've been saved 55 years. Oh, I can handle this myself. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There is no keeping power. That's where the power is at. It's in Christ. So don't ever get feeling you're somebody because you've been a pastor 38 years and 6 months or 3 months or something like that. Whatever it was, don't ever get feeling like that. That's your ticket to heaven. You're still vulnerable. As long as you're in the flesh, you're still vulnerable. Don't think you got it made. Paul said, I have not already attained yet. Excuse me. Exactly. But in Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 12, it says, and they went about. This thing here, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out for a purpose. And that purpose was, and they went out and preached that men should repent. That was what he went to do. That's why he sent the disciples. That's why he sent us. That's what our goal is, to tell people, without repentance, you shall all likewise perish.
Right.
But the vast majority of the world just believe on Jesus, confess your sins, and admit, and you're bound for glory. It takes more than that. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, Acts 3 and 11. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. Now we know he's talking about here where Jesus was standing at the judgment hall of Pilate. And they had a choice. They could have let Jesus could have went free that day.
Right.
Pilate tried to. He said, I find no fault with this man.
Right.
But the Jews, being hardened in their heart, who hated Jesus because he condemned them by his life, because he preached the kingdom here and now, because he preached liberty free from sin, because he preached repent, they didn't like it. They wanted a literal kingdom where they could be the superpower of the world again. They wanted all kinds of things. This Jesus didn't fit the mold they had pictured of the Messiah coming, so they said, get rid of him. And they called Jesus to die. Pilate wanted to let him go. Now, Pilate had his own blood, but he tried to let him go. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, Pilate was trying to let him go, and you. See, Peter was pretty bold. He didn't say some people. He said, you.
Yeah.
You the ones who done it. You're the ones who were standing there hollering, crucify him, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they'd done it. This was still in this generation of those who actually saw him die.
Yeah.
Who actually helped kill him. It says, but you deny the Holy One and the Just, and desire a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him that perfect soundness in all presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. After he preached to him, he condemned him. He showed him where they was at, Brother Wilson. He showed the condition. You guys were full of sin. You guys as the one who caused Christ to die. He had them convicted. He didn't say, well, if you'll just believe and accept Jesus in your heart, if you'll confess that it was you, then you'll be bound for glory. He had one word for them. He said, you guys killed him and you need to repent.
Right.
We need some Holy Ghost preaching. We need some preachers that will stand up and tell the truth.
Yes,
that repentance is required at all costs. Admission, believing, and confession is a necessary part, but it is not the key part. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted. That word converted comes from the Greek word 1994. And why did I go to the original Greek? Because I use Greek because it was written in Greek.
Right.
If I spoke in English and you spoke Spanish and you told Mark something in Spanish, he'd have to come to me to find what I really said. So he needs to know, I need to know, what did they really say? That word convert comes from a word that means turn your back on.
Yeah.
But not just turn your back on. A lot of people turn their back on stuff. You know, those people that have quit drinking, but yet they say, people have quit smoking, have quit cheating on their wife. They've turned their back on some stuff, their old way, but it takes more than just turn your back on it.
Right.
It says, turn your back on and cause to return from error.
Yeah.
See, if you're facing one direction, you're doing wrong, you turn your back on it and you head just the opposite direction. That's repentance. That's being converted. It says to turn oneself unto another, too. You're following Satan. You know what? There's not two families in the world. You're either the son of God or the son of the devil. There ain't no middle ground. But so when you're following the devil and you turn your back on him, you got to turn to somebody else. You got to turn to God. That's what the word convert means. But he told her the truth. He said, repent ye therefore, be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord. You know that Jesus, now this may shock you to death. Did you know that Jesus didn't come to save you from hell? Look it up. It's not there. I looked it up in Virginia. It does not say anywhere he saved you from hell. Now, I believe in hell. I believe in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to heaven. So don't take that wrong. But he did not come to save you from hell. He did not come to take you to heaven. What did he come for? Matthew 1:21. And I didn't miss part of my notes. This is something God just showed me. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from hell. It didn't say that. It says, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, when he saves you from your sins, the automatic payday of that is you don't go to hell and you go to heaven. But he didn't come just to take you out of hell. He came, if he wanted to take you out of hell, he could just destroy hell. He wanted a people that would live for him. He wanted, and he gave us temptation so that he gives the devil to tempt us so that we can serve him out of pure heart. If you marry Wayne because he's the only guy around, you don't only have to love him, you know, just he's the only guy there. But if you had four or five guys choose from you married Wayne, that's because you love Wayne. Well, if God gives us another choice and we still choose God, that shows love. Mm-hmm. The angels worship and praise him night and day. It says forever and ever. They never stop because they have to. A dog barks because it's a dog. A cat meows because it's a cat. Angel worship because it's an angel. But we have a choice. I don't have to serve God. Today, I can get done preaching this message and go out and get drunk. I have that choice. It ain't going to happen, but I have that choice. We have a free will. God wants us to choose Him because we love Him, not because we have to. That's what, but, so whenever you get caught by Him, why you talk? Excuse me. But anyway, God gave us a choice to serve Him or serve the devil.
Right.
One of the two. And His whole purpose was not ever. Just one scripture to back it up, besides the one in the, Matthew. 1 John 3:8. Didn't write this down. Well, actually, it's part of my next scripture. I'll just read 1 John 3:1-10. Now, I'll catch it right there. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, Earl Wilson, yeah. Preston Sanders, and anybody here that say that we, our lowest of the low, I was low, I was filthy, I was ungodly. I didn't go out in great deep sin like some people did, but you know what? I was headed to the same hell that Charles Manson is. Sin will take you to hell. I don't care how big or small. There is no big sin, little sin. Sin takes you to hell. Okay. But the fact that God would want me not to be a servant, but to be a son. Jesus said, I haven't called you servant, I've called you friend.
Right.
But what a concept that God, the holy God of heaven, who has no sin whatsoever, who has infinite knowledge, all power, and he wanted me. I can't grasp that, Lewis. He could have done better. He got the short end of the stick when I traded with him, you know? He got the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
But the thing is, God wanted me. That's amazing to me. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But behold, we are not, excuse me, behold, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope, if you have the hope of ever being like Jesus, if you have the hope of being in heaven with Jesus, this is what you'll do. He said, every man that hath his hope in him purifies himself. That means you stop doing something. You clean yourself up. He didn't say every man hath his hope in him, God purifies him. He said, every man that hath his hope purifies himself. We start throwing things off. Things that's unlike God, we get rid of it. If it don't glorify God, we get rid of it. If you have the hope in it. Even as he is pure. Whosoever, now, I'm preaching about a gospel that leaves you in sin. I'm preaching against it because it is so damnable. Listen, the next six verses, how can you read the next six verses and teach that you sin, I sin, we all sin? We all have sinned. I'm not saying I've never sinned. That's why I'm in the shape of it. That's why I'm in the shape I was in. But what I'm saying is, how can we say that every day I still sin? That's a damnable teaching.
That's why we need to be saved. To be within sin.
Exactly. That's why he saved me from my sins, mm-hmm. not from hell.
Well, sin,
they'll say, you know, I sin every day, but they're saying victory in Jesus. Victory over what?
Yes.
The next six verses, I don't even have to comment on. They speak for themselves. Now, I will comment, but I don't have to. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. For sin is transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested. Who? Jesus was manifested. That means he was brought to life. He came to earth to take away our hell. He didn't say that. He came to take away our sins. He came to make you better. He came to change you. It says to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever, now I'll just go real slow, okay? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I live at 2899 Indy Grave Road, but I'm not there all the time. So to abide somewhere, you've got to stay there.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, he that abideth in Christ, that means you've got to stay there, sins not. So but as long as I stay in Christ, I don't sin.
Right.
I can say it with all boldness. I say it with the authority of God's Word. Now, can I sin? You better believe it. All I have to do, Brother Wilson, is give in to Preston, and I can sin. So I am not saying you can't, but I'm saying that the standard is go and sin no more. That's the worst thing to believe. That's the rule. But he says, whosoever abideth in him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. Why did he say that? Several times in Scripture, before he said the profound statement, he'll say, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. He knew what was coming up. He knew there was going to be some people coming out here teaching this rotten junk. And he said, let no man deceive you. Even if his name's Preston Sanders. Don't take what I say tonight and just go say, it's the gospel because I said it. Do like the Bereans did. The Bereans, when Paul was the greatest apostle, he was the greatest preacher outside Jesus Christ. But Brother Wilson, while he was preaching, they were studying to see if it's true.
Right.
Take what I'm saying to God and say, God, if that's true, that's what I want. I mean... He has a final say. He said, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin, and I'm reading slow for a purpose. Let it sink in. This is for everybody here and everybody on the internet. Because this message will reach the world after Sunday, Lord willing. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I thought he's a Christian. I thought we all sin. We all used to. We don't have to anymore. For the devil sinned from the beginning. Here's why Jesus came. If you don't get nothing else, this is what he came for. He didn't come to save me from hell. He didn't come to take me to heaven. For this purpose, the Son of God, who's that? Jesus Christ, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not that he might destroy the end, not that he might destroy the punishment, not that he might take away the guilt, not that he might anything. He came to destroy the works of the devil. What was that? Sin. Plain and simple. We can live better if we stay in Christ. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. No commentary needed. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Now, just a little bit to clarify that. Anytime it has a TH at the end of the word, like doth, and committeth, and sinneth, and abideth, that's not a funny way of spelling it. This wasn't written in English. It wasn't written in Old English. Paul didn't say whether thou goest. He didn't say it in English. He spoke in Greek. That translation, the English word, the Old English, used the TH as a continuing word. So in other words, if you read it like in verse 8, he that commits and keeps on committing sin. That's what it is, it's a continual thing. Right. If you continue in sin, then you're still a sinner. Now, there is a possibility, and I hate the church has made it so easy to say, well, there is a chance of sin. There is. There is a chance of sin. But I say that's the exception, not the rule. If you want to know who your family tree is, it's right here.
Yeah.
In this, the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil. Two families.
Right.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Plain and simple, the rest of it. If we say that we're still a sinner, yet we're a saint too, that's like being, it's an oxymoron. You can't have both. You can't be a sinning Christian. God gave me a message today. I haven't said that yet. Things that don't exist.
Yeah.
A sinning Christian.
Yeah.
That's what don't exist. They don't continually live in sin. The gospel, what does the gospel mean? The word gospel means good news. What's the good news?
Yeah.
You can live different. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. You can have salvation from sin, not in sin. Now, this is new to some. This is old to some. Either way, my sister Bethany sung the song. That story never used to tell. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Plain and simple. I'm not going to stretch it out to make it last longer. That's exactly what God told me to tell you. God told me to tell you that there's good news. You can live a clean, holy life.